You are Locked On 76ers, your daily Philadelphia 76ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. Happy Wednesday to you. It's Wednesday, January the 30th. Today, I want to talk to y'all about last night's game. The Sixers destroyed the Lakers, the banged up Lakers, I might add, 121 to 105. Secondly, I want to talk to you guys about my thoughts on Anthony Davis, my thoughts where he'll end up at and why the Sixers won't get him. Thirdly, I want to talk about this Super Bowl or the Super Bowl atmosphere or lack of Super Bowl atmosphere here in L.A. You know, this is a Lakers town, y'all. I mean, the Rams might be in the Super Bowl. The Lakers might be 26 and 25. But believe me, they steal the headlines. And then the Dodgers are second. The Rams, you occasionally see people walking around here with Rams stuff. But I'm telling you, it does not appear to be a Super Bowl atmosphere at all. Before I get into this podcast, I want to let you guys know that if you want to keep up with me, make sure you subscribe to this podcast. Secondly, you know, you can follow me, you know, reading my articles on Philly.com, the Philadelphia Inquirer, Philadelphia Daily News, and follow me on Twitter at Pompey on Sixers and on Instagram at Pompey on Sixers. But look, without delaying it, let's talk about last night's game. Last night, the Sixers destroyed them. I mean, you know, they came back and they made a couple runs talking about the Lakers. But for the most part, you know, this game was over in the first quarter. That's when the Sixers jumped out to a 39-20 lead. I mean, the Lakers were just turning the ball over. Early on, they had 7 turnovers. The Sixers had 14 points off of those turnovers. It was like they would turn the ball over, and that kept leading to, like, layups and jumpers, right? They finished the quarter, the Lakers, with 9 turnovers. The Sixers had 17 points. So if you look at it, off of their turnovers, right, the Lakers had 20. The Sixers had 17 off of the Lakers' turnovers. So if they wouldn't have made another shot, they would have only been down by 3. That's how crazy it was. Now, the thing that stood out to me is that it's telling me that the Sixers are, like, doing a lot of forward thinking. On this night, they kind of shuffled things up. And they did it the way that you thought. Like, early on, everybody was talking about Jimmy Butler is ball dominant. He needs the ball in his hands. How will Ben Simmons adjust to that? How will he deal with that? Well, last night, they had Jimmy Butler running the point during certain stretches in the game. That was the key. And as we know, the last game that they played against Denver, a loss, Ben Simmons played primarily at power forward where he started. Well, this game, he slid to the four quite a bit when Jimmy had the ball, Ben was playing a four. Not only that, we all know that Wilson Chandler is moving down to the three at certain time. Now, he starts as a power forward, but he moves down to the three. So he did that. They also love Corey Brewer. They want to get him involved. So in certain lineups, he moves to the two from the three. And Mike Muscala playing a four, right? Back up five, but they have him playing a forward on stretches. Now, I'm going to be honest. You know, if you would have said something a month ago, or if you would have said something once Jimmy Butler first came here, you would have thought, like, you know, what is this coach doing? We all know he has to do it, but what about the personalities? Nah, they tend to bought in. They bought into it. And not only that, let's be real. When it comes down to the playoffs, you're going to need Jimmy Butler running pick and rolls and Jimmy Butler on isolation plays to help you. You know, teams are going to guard Ben Simmons a certain way if they feel like he's not going to shoot the ball. So it's best to have him down on a block, posting up, getting baskets, right? You know what I mean? And I think that's what the Sixers are doing. Now, I don't think. I know that's what the Sixers are doing. They're preparing for the playoffs. And when you look at it, you know, Jimmy Butler, he was my MVP on my Best and Worst Awards. So make sure you go to Philly.com and check out Sixers Observations, right? Is Sixers, Lakers, Observations, Best and Worst Awards. Well, Jimmy Butler got the MVP. And I gave it to him over Embiid. Like, Embiid had 20. He had 28 points. He had 11 rebounds. He had 6 assists, right? And he had a block. He had 6 turns, which wasn't good. But, you know, he had a scare, too, though, that which was crazy. We'll talk about that. But when you look at Jimmy Butler, this guy had 20 points on 7-9 shooting. He was 1-for-2 on threes, right? He made 5 or 6 foul shots. He had 5 rebounds, 6 assists, a game-high 5 steals. Those 5 steals are the most he's had since he's been a Sixer, I might add. And he had 1 block and 1 turnover, right? So he played well. I mean, he played well. He got guys involved. Then you look at Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons had 19 points. He had 8 rebounds, 6 assists. He had 3 steals, 2 turnovers, and a block. Right? Now, so when you look at it, the big three, they all, quote unquote, as the kids say, they all ate last night. We all got to eat. We all got to eat. You know, J.J. Redick had 13 points from 3-for-6, made 3-for-6 threes. Wilson Chandler had 9 points, 3-for-7. Now, in this game, Corey Brewer looked human. Like, the couple games, everybody was like, yo, Corey Brewer, he's great. And he is a great guy, and he has been playing very well. You know, once the Sixers acquired him, you know, for his first 10-day contract, he's in on his second. You know, yesterday he didn't really have a good shooting night. He was 0-for-6. He had 2 points. But the thing that stood out to me is he still had 2 steals. You know, he had 2 assists. I had 3 rebounds. You know what I mean? A lot of times, you know, he was basically, you know, they were, like I said, they were playing him to 2, playing him to 3. But it's just his leadership is something that stands out the most. And even on times when he have off nights, I think that he can help this team. Now, the Sixers, they have a lot to think about. They do. Like, do you still keep him or do you get rid of someone else? Or do you, like, in your pursuit of bringing in a quote-unquote, you know, buyout or addition or maybe trading for someone, whatever. But I honestly believe that, you know, the Sixers should keep him. I do. And I know, like, you know, when you're in this type of situation, like Corey Brewer is in, when you're basically dealing with, you know, 10-day contracts, anything can happen. And you can't think about long-term because you know in any minute someone can get waived from another team and they'll say, Corey, we love you. You're a great guy, but we got to go in a different direction. I get that. And he's going to continue to play hard and do what he has to do. And I'm pretty sure he's going to have a better game on Thursday. But, you know, I'm here to tell you that I think that they should keep him. I really am. I also believe that Ben Simmons should make All-Star. You know, for a while, you know, I was like, I don't know. But, you know, especially with Victor Oladipo being out, I just don't see, you know, 7 reserves in the Eastern Conference or 7 guys left in the Eastern Conference that are better than him. You know, the thing about Ben Simmons in that game, he'll go in as a guard, but he can also play other positions for him. So I think that he deserves that. You know, I really do. I mean, you know, I honestly think that Ben deserves that. And I'll touch base on why I think the 76ers shouldn't trade him. You know, let's talk about this Anthony Davis trade or asking for a trade. I mean, for the people who haven't been caught up with this. You know, Anthony Davis is agent, and Anthony Davis informed the Pelicans this past weekend that he no longer wants to be there. He would like to be traded, and he's not going to sign the extension. And, you know, out here in L.A., everyone assumes that he's going to come to Los Angeles. Like, you know, either via a trade or after he declines the option. Now, he's under contract for 2019-2020, right? And a great reporter one of my coworkers, colleague, Marcus Hayes, he wrote a column basically saying that, you know, Ben Simmons isn't an untouchable if you can get Anthony Davis. And, you know, I think he should be. I mean, now, again, he got that from a source within the Sixers organization. So I believe him. I believe him. But, you know, I'm looking at Ben Simmons now, and I know Anthony Davis is a great guy. I know he's a great player. You know, things work out, you know, for him. He'll be a good fit, or he could be a good fit. You know, my concerns about him playing alongside Joel Embiid, personally. But, you know, when I look at Ben Simmons, and I know a lot of people talk about his lack of jumper, but all I keep saying is, once he gets that, what are you going to say? You know, I honestly believe that Ben Simmons has the most upside of any player in the NBA right now. Some may argue that he's not a point guard. I mean, you hear people saying that. You're saying, like, you know, he's a big who can pass. Well, if that's the case, and if the Sixers continue to, like, go with Jimmy Butler at the one and Ben Simmons at the four, that's going to continue to be matchup problems for people, right? Now, but I honestly believe, once he gets that jump shot, it's going to be deadly. I mean, I do. He has the biggest upside of anyone in the league. Now, here's something else. If you trade him or you get rid of him, that could come back to haunt the Sixers. I mean, to a lesser extent, they got rid of Okafor, right? Everyone was saying Okafor's a bum, he's a bust, he's this, he's that. He goes to Brooklyn, can't get off the bench. This summer, he doesn't have any bites from any teams. He signs a minimum non-guaranteed deal with the New Orleans Pelicans. He's balling now, y'all. Before, he couldn't get off the bench early in the season, but he's balling. You look at Nerlens Noel. You know, Nerlens Noel wanted to be a starter. You know, the Sixers took and traded him to Dallas. That didn't work out. Now he's at OKC, and he's a quality backup. He's not a starter, but he's a quality backup. A quality backup five that the Sixers could use right about now, right? So Ben Simmons has a bigger upside than both of those guys. I can't see trading him. Now, in regards to Anthony Davis, you know, coming here, let's just say if he does come here, then you have Embiid, right? You know, him and Embiid, how is that going to get along? How are they going to coexist, right? You know, we know that Anthony Davis used to be a guard in high school, right? And then he went through the growth spurt. And then, you know, he played center at Kentucky. And then, you know, he's a power forward / center here. One of the best players in the league. He has a versatile skill set. The Sixers appear to be gelling now, but early on, it was one of those things where guys were unhappy with the way they were being used after Jimmy Butler came on board. So what happens when you get Anthony Davis? That's going to take away touches from Embiid. I mean, Anthony Davis is averaging 29 points. He's the second leading scorer in the NBA. I believe that Embiid is seventh at 27-something. You know what I mean? They both want their touches. Jimmy Butler wants his touches. You know, so to me, like a lot of times when we want to play fantasy basketball, it all sounds good to get these guys. But then you got to worry about meshes. And I think right now, the Sixers are fine. They just need to upgrade the bench. Now, again, what they're doing is they're like experimenting, having Jimmy play certain positions, you know, Wilson, all these other guys. They're setting that up. So, who knows? Now, Anthony Davis would be a bonus, a plus, but at the same time, you got to see how is all this going to work. How is it going to work? So that's the big question right there. I mean, the huge question. How is all of it going to work for the Sixers if they get them? All right. Now, I'm in L.A. And, you know, the Sixers been here since, what, Sunday? So I flew in on Sunday. You know, you come in, you see Lakers people. You see a whole bunch of people with Lakers stuff, right? Monday I go out cruising. You know, one of my buddies picked me up, go out, Lakers stuff. You pick up the paper, Lakers. You turn on Sports Talk Radio, Lakers. I mean, yes, you do see some Ram stuff, but I'm telling you, you can't tell that this is a Super Bowl week or a Super Bowl city. Or, you know what I mean, a city that has a team with the Super Bowl. And then, you know, I'm talking to people yesterday about the LA Times. And it amazes me that, and don't get me wrong, Anthony Davis news is huge. But you look at the LA Times and you see the big spread of the paper, the centerpiece, is the Lakers. And then on the side of it, going down the rail, so to speak, the Dodgers. And at the bottom of the sports front was the Rams. And you talk to people and you say, yeah, the Lakers were the top story. Behind that, it was like most read story. Behind that, it was the Dodgers had two, and then the Lakers, and then USC, and then all the way at number seven was the first Rams story. So it's crazy here, man. I mean, it's basketball crazy. I mean, the people here love the Lakers. And when you think of it and you wonder and you ask yourself, like, I know some people in Philly were like, man, why did LeBron go there? I mean, nothing against our city, y'all. Nothing against it. But when you look at, I guess, the warm weather, all this, like how the people are rabid about this team. I mean, the media coverage is unreal. I mean, they have so many people. I get tired of asking, like, you know, who you work for? Like, who are you? This and that. It's so many of them. And, like, you see colleagues that you had who worked at different, in different markets. They're all here. I mean, so, and they're all covering the Lakers. So, you know, this city is, yes, they have a Super Bowl team, a team that's in the Super Bowl. The Lakers are a game above 500. There's talk that they may get rid of the coach. LeBron James is hurt. Kyle Kuzma's hurt. Lonzo Ball's hurt. Yet, they're the talk of the town. And the Super Bowl team, no one's reading or no one's talking about it. Now, again, you got some people who are, but believe me, y'all, they're an afterthought right about now. I want to thank you all for listening and have a great